Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
Easter is upon us. With that comes plenty of chocolate treats for us to devour and share. For this week's industry review, I'm delighted to be joined by three different chocolate businesses. They are Karen and Natalie Keane, the founders of Bean and Goose. You're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Also joining us is Gráinne Mullins, head chocolatier and founder of Grá Chocolates.
Thank you.
Welcome, Gráinne. And Mary Healy, who's been with us before, director and co-owner of the Chocolate Garden. Mary, you're also very
welcome
to the programme. So a happy Easter to you all. Firstly, I suppose, maybe Mary, let's tell us a little bit about your business. Give us a little bit of background. I know you started in the waffle business.
That's right.
And you ended up in the chocolate business.
Yeah, we got into the chocolate business by accident, in a sense, in that we bought equipment to put chocolate onto the waffles. And then we were saying, like, what else? It's Jim and my husband and myself. And we started kind of playing around with this machine and saying, what else can we do with it? And we started making chocolates. They started to fly. And of course, the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah.
So that was back in 2001. And by 2005, we had renamed from Wicklow Fine Foods solely to the Chocolate Garden of Ireland. And we still carry the Wicklow Fine Foods brand. Yeah, we have since, I suppose, got into ice cream making, and we have since got into visitor experience and chocolate mould making sessions.
Okay, and I'm going to come back to that because I think it's a fascinating piece. So thank you for that, Mary. Now we've the twins. You're not twins, are you?
No, we're not twins.
No, you're sisters. Yeah. Karen and Natalie Keane. Tell us about Bean and Goose and how it all came about.
Okay, so Karen and I are sisters. Like you said, we're co-founders of Bean and Goose Chocolate. We started our brand about 10 years ago. And what we do is that we take the sustainable single origin chocolate from Ecuador. That's the chocolate we work with. And then we layer it with the Irish story. So through ingredients, through art and through form.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who does what in this wonderful business?
Ah, well, we do a bit of everything.
Right.
You have to. But I suppose basically, Karen, you would look after production.
Yeah.
So Karen would head up the making team day in, day out. And I suppose I do marketing, sales, and kind of have an eye to the future. So what we're going to do next would be...
And is Easter a traditionally a very busy time for you?
Yeah, Easter is a very busy time. Christmas would be much, much busier, but Easter obviously is very busy. But it's a great opportunity to get the product out to new customers and tell the story of Bean and Goose. So, yeah, it's a really important time.
And am I right in saying that there's, rather than an Easter bunny, we have an Irish hare?
Oh, yeah.
As well as an Irish goose.
We do.
I'm loving that.
Yeah, so obviously what we do is we bring a lot of story into what we do. So we have the goose is obviously a nod to our namesake, the Bean Goose, and the hare because he's the indigenous Irish bouncer. And also, by many, he's believed to be the original Easter Bunny as well. The hare.
There you go. You heard it here, folks.
Yep.
finally, let's welcome Gráinne Mullins, founder of Grá Chocolates. Gráinne, you're very welcome to the... You maybe took a slightly different route to your business. I know you were a pastry chef. You were basically involved in the culinary end of things, but... Your love of chocolate shone through.
It did, absolutely. So I worked as a pastry chef for over 10 years in fine dining and Michelin star restaurants. And then when the lockdown hit, this time 4 years ago, I didn't know what to do with myself. And I made a gift of hand-painted Easter eggs for my friends and family. But when I put them on social media, the demand, I just couldn't get over it. And people were requesting them. And I wasn't in a position. I had just one chocolate mould. But it gave me the idea that this could be a business down the line. So yeah, launched in July 2020. And this will be our third Easter.
Yeah, okay. And are you loving it? When you reflect now on the last 3 years, Gráinne, do you say I should have done this 13 years ago?
No, I don't think so. I think my experience at the time and the perfect timing just worked out. So I wouldn't change the timing of when I started. But I absolutely love every second. It is a challenge, a journey. It is incredibly fun. And the way it's grown from being just me and my idea this time 4 years ago to now having a great massive team and we're all making Easter eggs for everyone.
And where are you operating out of?
We have a manufacturing unit in Ballybrit, County Galway.
Okay, very interesting. Tell me about the... the giant egg that I saw in Brown Thomas earlier in the week that was made by yourselves.
Yeah, so we have a giant Easter egg this year. It's for sale in Brown Thomas, and hopefully it'll be scooped up today, the very last one. But yeah, it's almost 600 centimetres tall, or 60 centimetres tall, sorry. So very tall and
it's
very
like big. Half a metre, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we have a layer of milk chocolate. We have a layer of hazelnut gianduja, candied hazelnuts, another layer of chocolate, salted caramel fudge layer, and a salted caramel, chewy salted caramel pieces as well. So it's pretty extravagant, along with touched off with some 24 karat gold leaf, as you do.
Okay. So when you talk about a specific range of products for Easter, Gráinne, what kind of things do you look at? What is the Easter market per se?
So for us,
obviously it's eggs, but it's so much
Easter
more.
Easter eggs are really important, and we're trying to be different in that Easter egg market. And I always loved like having flavours in my Easter egg. So if you'll see within the egg, every bite that you take will have a piece of either fudge or caramel or nuts or mint or whatever that filling. But then also we wanted to cater to the other market as well, of having different products. So we have our mini eggs as well, and that has a whole range of different filled mini eggs that people can enjoy and share with family. So maybe the egg could be for somebody in particular, and then the mini egg box could be shared out.
Just to say, the packaging of these products, the product looks absolutely magnificent. I'll just describe it for our listeners. It's this beautiful, shiny egg in this magnificent packaging with a window on it. And then you've got the little mini eggs underneath it. Packaging is obviously a big cost, Gráinne. Is it something, it obviously adds value to the product. How do you balance that? You know, I have to spend X on the packaging of this product to make it look good so it'll sell.
So I suppose I look at packaging in two different ways, because we're mainly an e-commerce business. We have to make sure that they protect during shipping. So we have to make sure that the structure is strong enough, and that, but then also if it goes into store, like our Brown Thomas concessions, that it is visible, it's clear to see what the product is on the inside, but also very clearly differentiate the product from different products in the market as well. So I suppose we're always building on it, creating, thinking about the customer experience on the lids, the lift, the texture of the paper, and we're always trying to improve it. So I think it's an ever learning thing. As one of my favourite jobs is actually looking at new packaging ideas and coming up with new ideas.
Well, you certainly have an eye for it. Mary, back to you in terms of the type of products that you produce at this time of the year. Oh, I'm looking at your eggs there as well. Again, beautifully handcrafted. I suppose because it's a food product, you're always going to have cellophane, or you're going to have some...
Yeah, for food safety and for hygiene.
And are these all, these are all handmade,
those
are they?
Those are three giant eggs. They're probably, I don't know, 3/4 metre high.
Yeah. Wow.
They're the three biggest eggs together, we imagine, in Ireland on display at the moment. So come on down and get your picture taken with them.
When did you make these?
They've been made over the last month, I'd say.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
And what do you do with them after Easter? They get sold?
I'd say we will keep probably two for display in our workshop areas, and we'll probably melt one back into the tank.
Really, really amazing. Tell me about the kind of products then that do you bring out a specific range of products. I see some eggs here, mini eggs.
We do, like, for packaging reasons, it's difficult to launch a new product every season.
Sure.
Necessarily, but we do have, say, the Orchard range there. That was an award-winning selection that we launched about 18 months ago. So that gold one there with the facets on it, that's that also won gold in its own right.
This one?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to taste that now. Tell me what this is again.
Hazelnut. It's gold hazelnut praline.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's great.
The chocolate is gold caramel. So that's going really, really well for us at the moment. So, yeah, we introduce different fillings as well. The little white egg there with the decoration on, that has a passion fruit and mango filling. So that's going.
Do you know what? I have the best job in the world when I get to these kind of things.
Yeah.
Let me go back to the two ladies here from Bean and Goose.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your own experience this Easter, tooling up, the kind of challenges you've had, getting the product onto the shelves.
Yep.
Talk to me.
So, well, I suppose we've had a few years' experience now, haven't we? So we've got a great team, and the team have all been working together for years. So we were pretty much under control this year, which was great, which was a bonus. So I think we've had a good Easter. It's relatively calm.
Yeah, and it's quite early this year.
Yes, that would be the only thing. Easter is so early that we have gone straight from one chocolate occasion to the next. So it's been a very short lead-in time, but pretty much under control.
And where are you guys operating out of?
We have a unit in Wexford in Gorey, so it's about 3,500 feet. We've been there for about 3 years, and it's brilliant. It's great. The team love working there. It's a big open plan space, so everything can be seen right from the making right through to dispatch.
And it's not obviously the rent is probably reflective of not being in the Dublin market, but yet you're close to the Dublin market to get your product in and out.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we're just where we are in Wexford, it's a beautiful location. We're right beside Ballymoney Beach. So during the summertime, anybody that's in the area can come down and visit us. And we do classes and events all through the summer season.
So wow, OK. So in terms of the start of the business was basically farmers markets. Yep. Is that right?
Yeah.
And what was the stepping stones out of the farmers market, or? Do you still do farmers markets?
No, we don't. But right. We did do them for 3 years, the first 3 years of the business. And it was hard work. So we were hand making everything all week and then going up to the Dublin food markets on Saturday. They were really important, though, because that's where we met our first customers. And that's where we started to understand, you know, the flavours they wanted and the format they wanted their chocolate in. So it was a huge, huge learning experience. Yeah, we did that for 3 years and then we started to focus solely on our wholesale customers. And then we spent about 5 years, didn't we? Wholesale customers, online store, just really building up our customer base.
So a lot of the business is online, is it?
A lot of our business is online, yeah. And we've learned to really lean into that.
Gráinne, you mentioned online as well, being, I suppose, central to your proposition. You're also very active yourself on social media in terms of driving the sales, like that seems to be hugely successful in terms of throwing your own personality into the social media end of the business and really driving the sales with your personality.
Yeah, and that's really important. And we can see a lot of new customers coming from new areas just because of social media and how far it can take you. So we actually have two team members dedicated solely to social media, to making sure that people are replied to, that we have enough content made, that people think content's going out every single day, because we need to increase our customer base as well in order to continue growing at our steady pace that we are. But we have to get new customers in, and we have a fantastic return rate. Customers, once they buy from us, they keep coming back. But we have to make sure that we're also getting those new customers in as well, because you want it to be consistent and you want to stay getting that excitement from new customers and seeing what they want to eat. Social media, so important.
I want to congratulate you as well on your mini Easter eggs.
Thank you.
They really... Now, I have to say, they just look absolutely stunning.
The pistachio one is absolutely excellent.
Well, I won't eat it now, because otherwise we'll get no talk out of me. I'll just be eating all the time. But thank you again for bringing that in.
You're
but
welcome.
They look really, really smart. Mary, in terms of, we've heard a lot of, I suppose, manufacturers talk about cost increase, the increased cost of doing business. The price of cocoa... Yeah. Tell me about that, the raw material.
Okay, well, there in the last year, it's gone up 330%.
Oh, my God.
So from the 29th, the 31st of June or March last year, the metric ton was 2,933. This year, as of yesterday, it was 9,766.
My God.
Up from 2,900.
Now, just talk to me about struggling with that.
Yeah.
Well, how much can you put up your price of your egg or... You know, your admission into the visitor centre.
I've been postponing it.
I know, but at the end of the day, you know, those costs, which are, presume represent a major percentage of your overall costs.
Absolutely. Well, cocoa is a large part of the chocolate and, you know, obviously labour and packaging are other elements. So obviously prices are going to go up, and the challenge for all of us is that other items like flowers or wine may replace chocolates as a gift for a while, and we have to balance
that. That's interesting that you would actually lose out, not to yourselves, but to another category.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because you just literally...
But I don't think anyone's giving up their pint or their chocolate.
Yeah, so no, I think you're right. But that's a savage increase to have to face.
It is, yeah. It's remarkable.
Like, you don't have to be a rocket scientist.
Yeah, we've been exposed to it with sugar and vanilla as well. Like, if there's a bad season with vanilla, the prices just go through the roof.
Yeah. Now, I noted from reading my notes that all three of you have won different awards. So I just thought we might just talk about those because they all seem to be different. Yeah. You guys have won, and this is Bean and Goose, mm-hmm. Have won 2 years in a row a sustainability award.
That's right.
And yeah. Why have you won that? Tell me, pray tell.
So I suppose the starting point for our brand always has been the sustainability behind the chocolate. So we make sure that we get the most sustainable chocolate in the world. And the chocolate that we use has been ranked as the most sustainable chocolate.
And tell me this,
2 years in a row.
In terms of the cost that Mary outlined there, have you seen similar increases?
You know, I was talking about this yesterday. We've always paid really high prices for our couverture, and that's to make sure that we cover all of that sustainability. So we have seen a price increase, but we have been somewhat cushioned from that, which is great. We've been really, really lucky. But we have had to put up the prices of our bars at the beginning of the year. But we kept it as low as possible. Yeah.
Interesting. What about your award, Grainne?
Yeah.
You only recently hot off the press.
Just last week, yeah. I was announced that I will be representing Ireland at the European Creative Business Cup. So very amazing as a business to be representing Ireland with its creativity, showing that food can also be a creative medium as well. So super, super excited about that.
Well done to you. A texter is asking, how much does that egg in Brown Thomas's cost?
It's €1,000.
Ooh, €1,000. Well worth it. Cheap at half the price. And Mary, in terms of your own award, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I suppose the most recent was the Carlow Chamber Food and Beverage Award. So
we
are on the Carlow Wicklow border. So we kind of.
I was going to ask you, are you Carlow or Wicklow or which
Chocolate
are you?
Garden of Ireland? We're in Wicklow. Yeah.
But you're in spitting distance of Carlow.
Exactly, yeah. Tullow is the local town, so right. 3 miles away, so 5 minutes in the road. And we're only an hour from the M50. So we're only an hour from Wexford, an hour from Portlaoise, so we're quite centrally located.
Okay.
And that's good for visitors coming to.
Of course it is.
By their own hand at being creative.
Well, listen, it's great to see a refreshing outlook on what is, you know, a challenging business. It's not easy, but you're all doing wonderful work. And I think I just want to go off air now and just eat a few eggs and just get involved in the debauchery that is Easter chocolate. So thank you.
Thanks.
To Karen and Natalie Keane. From Bean and Goose, to Grainne Mullins from Grow Chocolates, and Mary Healy from the Chocolate Garden. Thank you.
Thanks,
all.
Bobby. Happy Easter.
And wishing you
a
successful and indeed prosperous Easter. So to you all, thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.